Unity.
And welcome back to the Neutral Zone after a very long winter break.
Very long.
I'm John Hanna.
Tyler Gallo.
And you might be a bit confused about that intro, but that was the Finnish World Junior goal horn. They played up in Vancouver and Victoria, British Columbia, and Finland won.
And despite backlash from Canada after they lost, and USA lost in the finals, correct?
Finished second.
Well, Finland, one of the Devils' prospects was their captain. That's Arne Talvitie, who's also on Penn State. He came here for a game when they played RMU. And he had 7 points in seven games, and he won gold. He did not throw his medal into the stands or to the side, though.
And in net for the Finland team was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Sabres fans effectively call him 6K because he has 6 K's in his name.
That's a great last name. That's a great name in general.
And he had great stats. 1.80 goals against average, .932 save percentage. And Talvitie out 6 to 9 months following his knee surgery.
Yeah, I knew he probably wouldn't crack the big club this year, but I feel like he's going to have like a Jesper Bratt type of like rise to stardom in the league, because Jesper Bratt came out of nowhere, 6th round pick. He was also a 6th round pick. Arne Talvitie is also from Finland. Bratt's from Sweden. So like, there's sort of a similarity there. Talvitie's like low key good, which he's very good.
And as you said, USA finished second. Canada finished fourth.
Got nothing.
And then Maxime Comtois, Ducks prospect, he actually got death threats after missing an OT penalty shot in that. It was the game against Finland, right? The semifinals?
I think so.
Yeah. His stick broke. You can't control.
And, I mean, most of the death threats are from, like, 11, 12-year-olds on Instagram that are mad that Canada lost. But, like, stuff like that happens. Like,
you play hockey. You can't control your stick breaking.
I mean, like, who was the goalie for USA when Crosby scored the goal in
Miller.
The Olympics? I mean, he didn't get death threats.
Miller actually got cheered when he returned to Pittsburgh.
Exactly. So, like, it's just a happenstance of the game, stuff like that happens. I mean, it's just – and if your stick breaks. Like, you can't control anything about that. It's just fate. Like, and, yeah, his stick broke. He missed the shot. You know, people probably could have gotten better shots off, but it was in overtime. And you had multiple chances to win it in overtime despite that penalty shot.
And, part of this that I – excuse me, no. I missed spoke. Comtois missed the penalty shot. Noah Dobson's stick broke.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But speaking of that, Finnish hockey stick company, Pama Hockey, wrote Noah Dobson a note. Dear Noah, we at Pama Hockey feel sorry for your equipment gave up on you at the worst possible moment. We know how polite the Canadians are, so we want to give you this Finnish hockey stick, Pama PHX Carbon, as a gift for a great hockey game. So his stick broke, and the Finnish company sent him a stick.
That's pretty awesome.
So it's kind of rubbing salt in the wound a little.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
I love it.
It's still a free stick. Like,
yeah,
I'll take a free stick any day of the week.
And what was your favorite Christmas present over the break?
Well, I got a Will Butcher jersey for the Devils that I really like. But it's either a toss up between that or the. I'm going to Fenway Park in June for a game, Rays Red Sox. That's going to be exciting. I've never been to Boston, so I'll get to go there for the first time and see Fenway Park, which is something that's on pretty much every baseball fan's bucket list, to go to Fenway Park.
As a family, we're all going to Colorado over the summer, Colorado Springs, and then...
Please visit the Sky Sox for me.
We are not going to visit the Sky Sox. We're going to visit the Rockies. Probably not, but...
Visit the Rockies, just let me know, dude.
We're going whitewater rafting and a bunch of stuff over there, so that'll be fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then I also got a new blazer, so watch me on RMU CSC on RMU TV. I'll be doing some anchor jobs there.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. I will not be an anchor because I did not go out for it due to hockey, but... stay tuned for John. Does a great job whenever he's on the show. So, keep your eyes open.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. baseball trades.
Yeah, let's throw it right into that. So, this is a pretty confusing trade to me. I don't know if it was a salary dump or, like, opening up to sign somebody big. But the Cincinnati-Los Angeles trade. Cincinnati got Yasiel Puig, an all-star. Matt Kemp, an all-star last year. Alex Wood, who was also an all-star. And Kyle Farmer, who's a third baseman catcher. And then to Los Angeles was Homer Bailey, Jeter Downs, and Josiah Gray. The Jeter Downs and Josiah Gray are two good prospects, so I understand that. But Homer Bailey went like 2-17 last year on the mound, like a above five ERA. I don't really understand this trade from the Dodgers' standpoint, but I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. And then we got a three-team trade here, kind of interesting. So it was between Texas, Tampa Bay, and Oakland. So to Texas via Tampa Bay was Kyle Bird, Brock Burke, and Yoel Espinal, all three prospects. To Texas via Oakland was Eli White, another prospect. To Oakland via Texas was Jurickson Profar, an infielder. Utility guy, plays around the diamond, was one of the best prospects when he came up, but really hasn't panned out. Had a good season last year for him. To Tampa Bay via Texas was Raleigh Lacy, and to Oakland via Tampa Bay, nobody. But to Tampa Bay via Oakland was relief pitcher Emilio Pagan. So sort of an interesting trade. A lot of prospects being moved, a lot of names being moved around. And then the Mets were on the trade market for three times in this less than 24 hours a couple weeks ago. The Mets got outfielder Keon Broxton from the Brewers, and the Brewers got relief pitcher, flamethrower Bobby Wall, infield prospect Felix Valerio, and pitcher prospect Adam Hill. Adam Hill was drafted last year by the Mets. But Keon Broxton, you know, I feel like he's the type of change scenery type of guy. He was abysmal on offense last year, did hit a homer in the playoffs. But he was a 2020 guy a few years ago, so I don't know if he changes scenery and is in a less crowded outfield, because Milwaukee had no room for him with Yelich and Kane and all their guys in the outfield. So I'm interesting to see what Keon Broxton does. He'll probably platoon with Lagares. And then another trade, interesting trade for the Mets. They got J.D. Davis, who's infielder, outfielder, and Cody Bohanek from the Astros. The Astros got Luis Santana, Ross Adolph, and Scott Manea, who are three prospects. You know, I don't know too much about the prospects, but interesting trade. J.D. Davis slots into any infield or outfield spot when they need him. He's a utility guy. I don't know too much about him, but he didn't do too well last year. And then the Mets, who had a catching situation logjam, shed Kevin Plawecki over to the Indians, and the Mets got Walker Lockett, who a pitcher came up with the Padres last year, did not do too well, and then prospect Sam Haggerty. Plawecki did not really have room on the Mets roster for the 2019 season because they had Wilson Ramos that they just signed and Travis d'Arnaud. So Plawecki hopes to back up whoever the Indians catcher is and trying to revitalize his career in Cleveland. And then he got the last trade back to Los Angeles, Russell Martin. And when he was in Los Angeles, he was probably one of the most feared catchers in the game. Such a solid player. And Toronto got Ronnie Brito and Andrew Sopko. So Martin hopes to mentor a couple of the catching guys. He still gets on base at a good clip. Did not hit too well last year. But Russell Martin, he's still got some career left in him. And why not wrap up your career with the team you came up with, making your career come full circle? And all right, we got a plethora of free agent signings. Couple of big ones, but as John said earlier, watch Bryce Harper or Manny Machado sign right after this podcast is over. I would not be surprised if that happens because who knows where they're going. Philly, Chicago White Sox, nobody knows.
Yankees are probably out.
Yankees are definitely out on Machado. They've just added a bunch of people. Harper's probably going to the Phillies, which I'm not happy about. But all right, free agent signings, throw it right in. The Mets signed Wilson Ramos, a catcher, 2 years, $19 million. That's a steal. Now, Ramos, probably the best offensive catcher last year, was an all-star. Does have injury trouble, but he's pretty good. And an upgrade over d'Arnaud and Plawecki, I'll tell you that, and Thomas Nito. Houston signed Michael Brantley. I've always liked this guy. 2 years, $32 million, outfielder. Had a pretty solid career in Cleveland, and he's changing face now. St. Louis signed one of the big relief pitcher names on the market, Andrew Miller. 2 years, $25 million. Former Yankee. Had a pretty solid Yankees career. Was just devastating in that Cleveland bullpen. He's got a great slider. And now, this one I'm kind of happy about because he's out of the NL East and can't terrorize the Mets as much as he did. Daniel Murphy signed with Colorado for 2 years, $24 million. Former Met, had that great World Series in 15, a great World Series run, didn't do anything in the World Series except for a couple of errors, which sucked. But Daniel Murphy, he's probably going to hit like 450 in Colorado because that's what just happens. He's already a good hitter. And he's going to just go exponentially better. So swapping sides, Joe Kelly, Boston reliever, signed with the Dodgers, the team that He utterly dominated in the World Series last year for 3 years, $25 million. Former Met, Matt Harvey, signed with the Angels for a year and $11 million. Not a fan of Matt Harvey at all, and I don't think he's that good anymore. Chicago White Sox signed John Jay for a 1 year, $4 million, and Deadspin put out an article that got some attention about John Jay. It says well, it's not along these words, but it said White Sox signed a crappy player. It wasn't that exact word, crappy, but I think you can get what I mean, and the whole article was just trashing John Jay. So John Jay is also the name of a building here at RMU.
Yes, it is.
Philly signed David Robertson to bolster their bullpen for 2 years, $23 million, former Yankee as well. I mean, a lot of players are former Yankees, let's be real. Robertson has had a nice career so far. The Angels signed Jonathan Lucroy to 1 year, $3.3 million. Lucroy, a pretty solid offensive catcher. Milwaukee signed Yasmani Grandal for a year, $18.25 million, which confuses me because the Mets offered him for 4 years and $60 million, and I don't know if it was the money or it's just something else, but he didn't sign him. But Grandal basically played for the Brewers during the playoffs last year. A bunch of errors, but he ended up going to the World Series and the Brewers didn't. So Nationals replaced Daniel Murphy with Brian Dozier, second baseman from the Dodgers and Twins last year. Pretty solid offensive second baseman. Can hit home runs. Huge power. Did hit 40-something home runs a few years ago. The most recent Mets signing, Jed Lowrie, 2 years, $20 million, was an all-star last year with Oakland. Oakland made the playoffs. Lowrie was at the forefront, a good player, probably slots in at third or around the diamond, can back up any of the guys or start. He's a utility player. Yankees, they got two signings. You want to take these, John, because you're a Yankees fan?
Sure. Zach Britton, 3 years, $39 million, and DJ LeMahieu, 2 years, $24 million. Both fill roles in the team that need filling. LeMahieu is a serviceable infielder.
He did lead the league in batting average a few years ago. So
yes.
Pretty solid player. And Zach Britton, good bullpen piece. Last year for Baltimore, I'll tell you that. But when he came over to the Yankees, he was lights out. So the Yankees already have a pretty devastating bullpen. So watch out for Britton, Chapman, Betances, Chad Green, all those guys next year. And if they sign Adam Ottavino, it's going to be insane.
You want to talk about this one, Tyler? I know it's not your favorite thing, but
yeah, it was bound to happen at some point. I didn't know it would happen along these lines, but David Wright. If you looked at the transaction report, it said David Wright released from New York Mets. Why is this? Well, he's released and he's not going to play anymore, obviously, but he will accept a role as a special assistant to the GM Brody Van Wagenen. He's already been involved in a bunch of their deals that they've done. This was going to happen. I mean, don't be too mad if you see, why is David Wright released? He's such a good player. Well, he's retiring, obviously. Not specifically retiring, but he is trying to give the Mets their money back so they have more money to use. And then Jaime Garcia, formerly of the Cardinals, Braves, Twins for one game, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Cubs will announce his retirement after 10 seasons. He won the World Series in 2011 with St. Louis. He had a pretty solid career. I mean, never was an all-star, but did win a World Series ring. And, I mean, what else do you want? I mean, sometimes you just lose interest in the game. You can wrap it up early. Garcia had a serviceable career, was this 4 or 5 guy pretty much every year. Good career for Jaime Garcia, and I wish the best of luck of him to wherever he goes. Funny thing about him, he played one single game for the Minnesota Twins before being traded to the Yankees for the trade deadline in 2017. I think he pitched 6 innings, and then he was traded right after that. And then the last baseball thing I have. It's been a lot of stuff to talk about. The White Sox yesterday offered an 8-year deal to Manny Machado.
I think I saw on Twitter it was 8 years, $250 million.
That's a lot, and if nobody else can up that, I think he goes to the White Sox. In a few years, the White Sox are going to be dangerous. They've got the pieces to be a team in the future. They're not – right now, they won't be good. It's kind of like – the questionable deal Hosmer signed with the Padres last year for 8 years and sucked his first year in San Diego, but offered an 8-year deal. I guess it's a good deal for Machado, but we'll see how that plays out. There's still some teams in play. Obviously, the Phillies are still in play, and there's a mystery team. Nobody knows who the mystery team is, obviously, so it's a mystery team. So let's get over to the NHL.
Couple of trades to announce. Nothing too big. A bit of an odd one here. Edmonton trading Or getting Brandon Manning and Robin Norell from Chicago for Drake Cajula and Jason Garrison. Brandon Manning, most of you remember, he's the guy that almost ended McDavid's career. Took him into the boards pretty heavily. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and Manning was terrible on the Flyers. Like,
yeah,
he
was.
I mean,
it's
so
well, it is the Flyers.
It's the Flyers contingent. Yeah. And I don't really know who Robin Norell is.
But Drake Cajula, he's a decent top nine player.
Yeah, I that's a big surprise to me. And Jason Garrison, serviceable defensive mm-hmm. D-man.
Edmonton stacking up on defensemen as well in the second trade, trading Alex Petrovic for... They got Alex Petrovic, and they received from Florida Chris Weidman and a 2019 conditional third. So this is Panthers received the higher of their... two 2019 third-round picks. They have theirs in the Isles. Oilers, yeah, they currently hold them. Again, I don't really know why they did this. I think Weidman and Petrovic are pretty much the same player. Petrovic might provide a bit more physical of a style of play, but, again, not much to talk about there.
Yeah, and then a trade happened right before. Like
10 minutes before,
Dallas got Andrew Cogliano from Anaheim. Anaheim got Devin Shore. Cogliano, the Iron Man, as we all know, ended his streak last year with a suspension. Plays literally every game. Literally every game. Like you can slot him into the lineup. He's never been hurt, I don't think. So he's a pretty solid player. Not going to lie about that one.
And Devin Shore, younger bottom six guy for Dallas. Well, now for Anaheim,
didn't really have a space. Like,
yeah, they didn't
Dallas.
Really. Maybe Devin Shore was traded because you remember what happened with Dallas.
Yeah.
Couple weeks ago, in case you guys don't know, their owner,
CEO,
just went off on specifically Sagan and Ben, but I'm sure that Devin Shore might have not been in there as well. Like, he might have been. Talked about but not mentioned by name.
Oh, yeah, because their team brass talks about every player
extensively.
So maybe this was in the linings for Dallas to happen, but they needed to shed some players, so they got rid of Devin Shore and got a serviceable guy in Andrew Cogliano that can be guaranteed to be in the lineup pretty much every night.
Mm-hmm. And big congratulations to Mike McKenna, who helps to tie an NHL record.
Devil's legend, Mike McKenna.
He becomes the seventh goalie for the Flyers, joining... Carter Hart, is he the answer?
I mean, he's played well, not as good as Mackenzie Blackwood, obviously. But
Brian Elliott, Michael Neuver, Kelvin Picard, Alex Lyon, who made like 93 saves last year for the Phantoms in a AHL game.
He was also supposed to be the answer for the Flyers, and as is every player they bring up, and it's never happening. I'm sorry, Flyers fans, but you just got to stop riding high on all these prospects. Like, Carter Hart... He could have a good future, but right now the Devils just beat him pretty soundly 3-2. I mean, it was a goal with like a second left because it was a bad line change for the Flyers, but who cares about that? He sure undressed him. He sure will always be the man. And
he sure is better than Nolan Patrick.
He sure is better than Nolan Patrick. I don't know why people even make this comparison anymore.
Has Nolan Patrick even done anything in the league yet?
He scored a goal in the playoffs last year. Mm. That's, like, his biggest thing. They're like, oh, well, I have friends like, oh, well, I'm excited for him this year. He's going to adjust into a big six guy. And I'm like, listen, Nolan Patrick
is a bust.
He sure was. I'm so glad that maybe Patrick would have had a good career in New Jersey, but going to Philly, just not good.
And then the seventh goalie is Anthony Stolarz. Nothing really to talk about there. They tied the 1989-90 Quebec Nordiques,
2002-03 St. Louis Blues, and the 2007-08 Los Angeles Kings, who featured Yutaka Fukufuchi in that season. The only goalie from, I think it's Japan.
He's the only NHL player from Japan.
No, there's a few, but like, only military base or something.
You're right,
like
nope. Best Japanese player ever.
Taro Sugimoto.
Yes.
No, I think Richard Park was from South Korea.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and Jim Paik was also from South Korea.
And then little bit of an interesting fact, Flyers interim coach Scott Gordon was
Been terrible for them, by the way. It's not been going well for Scott Gordon, I'll tell you that.
He was one of the seven goalies for the Nordiques, so maybe the Flyers should stop hiring goalies as their coaches, you know?
Yeah, it's just not a good look for the Flyers continually cycling in goalies. I mean, they've had so many goalies in their history. Like, while Brodeur was this focal point over these years, the Flyers kept cycling in and out goalies, and they're like Roman Čechmánek, Robert Esch, trying to think of ones, Martin Hull.
Didn't they have
Brian Boucher, Brizgalov?
Was Garth Snow around that Garth time? Snow, or was he before?
He was, yeah, I think he was.
I know he fought Steve Shields one time. That was a great fight.
Steve Shields. Oh, what a journeyman he was. He's been featured in two of my lists already. Anaheim and Atlanta. All right. My boy, Jake Guentzel.
Excuse me?
Guentzel! Sorry about that. I like, probably one of the few guys I like on the Penguins, Jake Guentzel. I think he's a solid player. Signed to a 5-year, $30 million extension. $6 million annual average.
I mean, it's...
And why not?
Like, yeah. He's, what, 24, 20?
Yeah, he's younger. It's a high-risk, high-reward type of deal, if you think about it.
I mean, I don't think it's high-risk.
It's low-risk, high-reward.
Yeah, because Guentzel... Yeah. I mean, 6 years or $6 million might be a bit much. I mean, but Guentzel has been a serviceable player. The only question is, will he continue when and if Crosby and Malkin start to decline?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no end in sight for Crosby and Malkin right now. But when it does happen, Guentzel will be there, hopefully there to pick it up for them. I got a Guentzel shirt when I was in Pittsburgh. He's probably the only guy I like on Pittsburgh. He's a solid player, and as you said, serviceable. So.
What about dead JSD?
JSD, he wasn't on the Penguins when I went there. He was still on the Devils, and then he went back to the Penguins. And everyone's like, oh, well, thank you for bringing it back. He scored 2 goals for the Devils in, like, 16 games. So, yeah.
Rick Nash retired, formerly of the Blue Jackets and Rangers and Boston. Boston for, like, 40 games, I think.
Yeah, picked him up for the playoffs last year. Not a huge fan of Rick Nash, I'll tell you that.
He retired after 15 years doing lingering concussion symptoms. My favorite memory of Rick Nash, he was on the cover of NHL 2K9, which was probably the first hockey game I owned. It was for the Wii.
My favorite memory of Rick Nash was actually barely involved him. So a few years ago when David Clarkson was good, he was featured in a commercial, I think it was for Total Hockey or Hockey Monkey or something in New Jersey. And he was working at the shop, and it was a bunch of series of funny things that he did in the shop. And like climbing over a table like it was a line change for a bench, or knocking over a bunch of sticks, you know, pushing a guy into them. Well, this guy went to the counter with his card, and his last name was Nash, and he goes, Nash? Declined, and he throws the card away. So it's a pretty funny commercial. But yeah, that's what mostly I remember Rick Nash for. I liked him when he was on Columbus. Did not like him that after he joined the Rangers, but he had a good career.
A couple injuries. An odd one here. San Jose's coach, Peter DeBoer, out with a concussion.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did, if he got hit with a puck or...
Peter DeBoer will always look scared. Former Devils coach, led them to the Stanley Cup. And the San Jose Sharks. Marin, not a fan of San Jose Sharks coach Peter DeBoer. Operation Show DeBoer to Door, as we like to call it. Out with a concussion. I've had coaches not be out with concussions, but have head injuries before being hit with a puck. So
Trotz was hit by a puck a couple of years ago and just shrugged it off.
Yeah. Barry Trotz is literally a brick. So, I mean,
a surprise. He looks like a brick.
He looks like that type of drill sergeant type of guy. I would not be surprised if he screams at his guys all the time.
And then Nick Schmaltz for Arizona out for the season with a lower body injury. Sucks for Arizona because they just traded for him.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other injuries that we forgot to highlight.
But none of them were that big.
I mean, Corey Schneider, happy. He's on the IR. Had opened the door for Mackenzie Blackwood, who's just lighting the world on fire. He will start tonight against Chicago.
And who's your pick for the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm a huge fan of the Rams this year. Even in losing Cooper Kupp for the season, the Rams are, I mean, it's going to be either the Rams or the Chiefs, I'm going to be real with you, because the Chiefs are just dominant, and the Rams are dominant. You know, their coach. The coach is Rams, Sean McVay, is that his name?
Yeah, Sean McVay.
Remembers every play that he's ever called. So I just think the Rams have a fighting chance in the Super Bowl.
My pick is the Saints. They're going against the Rams this week. I just think Drew Brees is one of the most clutch players in NFL history.
Huge fan of Drew Brees.
I think he's underrated. Even though he's still highly rated, I think he's still underrated.
Yeah, and you know, Fun fact about Drew Brees, my dad likes to tell me this all the time. The Dolphins had the chance to sign Drew Brees. And they were picking between Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper. And you know they picked Dante Culpepper because I think Brees had a shoulder injury and Dante had a knee injury. And we see all how that panned out.
Yeah. Then a couple of games yesterday. A lot of high-scoring ones.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina 6-3 over Nashville. Sebastian Aho with a hat trick. Lucas Walmark, Justin Williams.
I think that's the Finnish version of Sebastian Aho.
That is the Finnish Sebastian Aho.
Yeah.
And then Saku Manalainen.
Manalainen.
It has the A with the weird...
With the umlaut?
Yeah, with the umlaut.
It's Manalainen. So if anybody knows how to say that, M-A-E-N-A-L-A-N-E-N. So if anybody knows how to say that, let me know.
Saku scored.
Saku, Koivu.
And then for Nashville, Philip Forsberg with two, and Colton Sissons added another one. Sebastian Aho basically beat the Preds by themselves.
Yeah. Aho, good player.
I found out where you put the Elliot Friedman. So we have Anaheim losing 4-3 in overtime to WNNPG, which is Winnipeg.
Yeah, goals for Winnipeg. Brian Little, Ben Chiarot, Patrick Laine, and Blake Wheeler. Laine continues to pump out goals like it's hot.
Not tomorrow. Laine's the best goal scorer since Ovi.
Oh, yeah. Laine is just, you can't mess with him.
And then for Anaheim, Andrew Cogliano scored. So
and then traded.
Yep. Brian Gibbons, Devil's legend. And Ricard Raquel all scored.
Hey, you scored a goal for us. Let's trade you to Dallas.
Look at the score for this game. Columbus and the Rangers.
Oof.
7-5. Nick Foligno scored two for Columbus. Cam Atkinson, Artemi Panarin. Will he stay in Columbus, do you think?
Rangers fans really want him. I know that. I think he's going to move on from Columbus. They're going nowhere fast. Their window is closing, let's just say that.
Anthony Duclair, Lucas Sedlock.
And I didn't know Duclair was in the big club. I haven't heard from him in such a long time.
He has 10 goals this year.
I definitely.
He was signed to a $650,000 contract, so low risk, high reward.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. I haven't heard about him in such a long time.
And then David Savard all scored for Columbus. David Savard's a defenseman, right?
Probably.
I get him and Mark Savard confused.
Yeah.
And then Matt Zuccarello with two, Chris Kreider, Ryan Strome, and Jimmy Vesey all scored for the Rangers.
Vancouver and Florida. Vancouver's goals by Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, Brock Besser, but what's new? Marcus Granlund and Ben Hutton. Is he related to Carter Hutton?
No.
He is not.
No.
Florida got a goal from Frank Vatrano, who they got from, I think it was...
Frankie Vatrano was from Boston, I think.
Boston, yeah, yeah.
Surprise here, the Isles killed Tampa 5-1.
Oh, yeah, that was... The Isles scored three goals in the first 5 minutes of the game, and that's uncharacteristic for Vasilevsky.
Tampa had a goal from Ryan McDonough, while Casey Zizekas, Cal Clutterbuck, Josh Bailey, Brock Nelson, and Devin Taves all scored. Devin has no relation to Jonathan Taves.
Which is a surprise. I mean, I haven't
heard. Taves is not a common last name.
Not at all. All right, and then Arizona and Calgary was a slugfest for one team. Calgary won 7-1. Arizona's only goal was from Jordan Esterly. And then two goals from Mark Giordano, who played in his 800th career game that night. Johnny Gaudreau, what's new? Sean Monahan, what's new? Matthew Tkachuk scored two goals, and Sam Bennett scored.
Mark Giordano, he was a snub for the All-Star game. He should have made it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of players that were snubs for All-Star games. Morgan Riley, Kyle Palmieri.
Braden Point.
Yeah, Braden Point, that's a huge surprise to me. Point's deadly.
It should be the All-Star game and not the All-Star from every team game.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you might alienate Arizona fans who don't have anybody, but who cares? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's the best of the best. Like, you don't see the Pro Bowl getting one from
every
team.
It's just a travesty, and that's why I sort of like the MLB All-Star Game vote a lot better because it allows the fans to vote players in. And yes, each team does have one, but like they probably won't appear in the game. But like, it's not by divisions; it's by conference or it's by league. So like, yeah, you'll see like one player from the Twins who did bad, or one player from the Orioles, and it was Manny Machado who was literally the best player in the league in the first half of the season, but. It allows fans to choose who they want in the game. Yes, they chose these guys, but one from every team. And Taylor Hall should not have been – I mean, Taylor Hall's had a good year, but he's been hurt for the past, like, month. So I don't know why he was chose over Palmieri. And if he – if Palmieri – or if Hall does not get to go, I think Palmieri will take his place.
And a couple games tonight, Colorado at Toronto at 7, Chicago at the Devils at 7, Mini at Philly at 7, St. Louis at Washington at 7, Montreal at Boston at 7:30.
Big rivalry game.
Yeah, and then Buffalo at Edmonton at 9 o'clock. That's the free game on the NHL app. So
yeah, we got a huge slate of games at 7. Keep your eyes out. Some good matchups. Terrible matchups. What am I thinking? Except for Colorado and Toronto, that's a good matchup.
St. Louis, Washington might be decent.
Might be decent, but then you got Chicago and New Jersey. That's a snore fest. I don't know what's going to happen in that game. And Minnesota and Philly.
It's Philly. Minnesota's surprising this year.
Yep. I mean, as they do every year. And then they've got some solid players.
And then you have Buffalo at Edmonton, which Buffalo's been on a bad streak as of late.
Buffalo's turned full circle since that 10-game win streak.
I'm going to sound like a homer here, but there have been bad bounces, pucks that calls they haven't gone
away. And as happens for every team.
But they played against Carolina, Saturday?
And that goal by, what was it? I don't know who it was.
Well,
but
Carolina had three of their four goals go off Buffalo sticks and stuff. So
I know that. I know that feeling. So it's in like Anaheim, we talked about this, yes. I think, a couple of shows ago.
Wasn't it three own goals?
Three own goals on Corey Schneider, who is cursed and is on the IR now. All right.
And then a new segment, Card of the Day. You want to go over what the whole premise is?
So if you're a sports fan, you've probably collected some cards at some point. I know John and I are a huge fan of collecting cards. I mean, I'm definitely more than John. And some of our co-anchors that have been on before. Some of our guest anchors that have been on are huge fans of collecting cards too. And this is all through the help of the Trading Card Database, which I'm not sponsored by them. We are not sponsored by them.
But if you want to sponsor us, let us know.
Great, great show. Or great website if you want to track all your cards, know the prices.
Every card you can possibly think of is on there.
And if it's not, you can add the checklist if you can find it. So that's just the beauty of the site. So I had the opportunity to go to my collection and click a random card from the collection.
How many cards do you have?
Around 9,000 that are documented. I have way more and some that I didn't put on the site. So this card was the first one that I picked, and I might make a list of it on the site as we go along of cards that we featured on our podcast. Today is the 2006-07 Upper Deck Mike Commodore. Now, I have almost every card from this set from the original release. Then they did a Series 2 that I don't have a lot of cards from. But this card was from the original release. It's a kind of clean-looking card, I'll say that.
It is. Pictures Commodore winding up to take a slapper.
It's a massive slap shot, if you see it. And the back of the card is not featured on our document, but it is. It looks clean. It's a solid set, and it's got any player that played that year pretty much is in that set. So he played with Carolina, the Devils, Calgary, Ottawa, Columbus, Detroit, Tampa Bay, and Admiral Vladivostok
in the KHL. KHL. That was the last team he played for.
Came up with the Devils in 2000.
Drafted 42nd overall in 1999 by them.
Played like 50 games for the Devils before being dispatched to Carolina. He was on the team when the Devils won the Cup, but did not feature in the playoffs at all. Was not on the playoff roster. But he actually officially got a ring in 2006 with Carolina. Was a big part of that team in the playoffs. Played all 25 games. Scored 4 points. And he's a bruiser. He was a bruiser in the league. Had a pretty solid career.
He was.
And 106 points in his career, 23 goals, 83 assists, and 484 regular season games.
So not bad. I mean,
not bad.
About
0.25
goals per game.
So maybe he wasn't a big point scoring guy, but he got
stay at home defenseman.
Stayed home, got stuff done when he needed to, and then in 8 points in 53 career playoff games. And he retired in 2014, and is not a fan of Mike Babcock.
Not at all, because of time when he was in the IHL with the Cincinnati Mighty Ducks. So there's a throwback team.
Yeah, so.
But, yeah.
Good career for Mike Commodore. Devils, former Devils prospect. Didn't make too much of an impact with the Devils, but had a good career. And bulk of his career was in Carolina. He was a big part of that team, that 06 Cup run team.
Mm-hmm. I remember 06, those playoffs, Carolina beating Buffalo in the conference finals.
You know, it was an interesting matchup in the finals. You had two goalies who had never really had experience in the league, UC Markkanen and Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Cam Ward came in and lit the world on fire in the playoffs, by the way.
And he hasn't done anything since.
Hasn't really done anything since.
How Cam Ward is still getting – what's he getting paid by Chicago?
Who knows, but
– $2 million?
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's a low risk – or it's high risk, low reward deal, which is not a good thing because Ward's career is pretty much over. He'll probably sign a contract with the
Hurricanes
Carolina
to retire.
Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting playoffs, back-to-back years, 06 and 07. The Cup Finals were kind of weird matchups.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But the off the top of your head, we don't have it written down on here, but I was going to put it. What are your top five hockey jerseys of all time, let's say?
All time. So.
No order. Just ones you like.
I really like the Kachina from the Coyotes. I have that.
That's a
great,
amazing.
Great jersey. And the one they had after that had the desert on it with like the shocks on their sleeves. Those are pretty cool. Coyotes had cool jerseys in their history. The Lightning one with the rain on it, kind of cool.
I didn't like that.
That, but it's a interesting looking jersey. Obviously, the Mighty Ducks jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great jersey. The Kings, the one with the Kings face on it.
The Burger King one?
Yeah, I like that one.
Why?
I don't know. Some reason I like that jersey. We got, let's see, Devils red and green. Got to go with the classic and their regular jersey. Huge, huge fan of those ones.
I'm a big fan of, they were only worn for 1 year, but remember Florida's blue alternates?
Yeah, those are – and the Thrashers.
Mm-hmm. They're nowhere. You can't find them in NHL games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they didn't exist. Or also the 40th year anniversary for Buffalo, the Royal Blues with the script.
Yeah.
I had a Miller one of those, so.
There's a lot of jerseys that are really nice. Thrashers did have some – despite being a terrible franchise, had a great, great set of jerseys in their history. I like the Blue Jackets canon.
They should do that full time.
Oh, yeah. Those are beautiful. Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one I like better. I think I like the blue one.
I don't, if the blue didn't have the gray on it, I think the gray sort of darkens it. But I know it's not really the right thing, but the Carolina Hartford ones that they just wore.
Yeah, those were nice.
Those are nice, yeah.
And the Carolina had some pretty cool jerseys in their history. The black ones are nice. The flag one that they have now is pretty cool. Basically just talking about every team's jerseys. The Stars. Now
you're missing one. Dallas Stars. What
Dallas
is it?
Stars. Their jersey, the cow head. We'll call it the Mooderist for this one because that's what it looks like. I like it. John doesn't. I like the red. I don't know why I like the red on the jersey. It's cool. Dallas has had a Cleveland Barons jersey. Was kind of
those
cool.
Are nice. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of jerseys in the NHL history were. Not to be frowned upon at all. Mm-hmm. The Blues had some cool – the ones with the Blues had the red on them.
Yeah.
I like those. Their early 90s one look.
Or I think their current alternate now, the light blue.
Yeah. Oh, you know, one that doesn't get a lot of love but I like is the Flames one that had the horse head on it.
I didn't like – I like the Flames one that had I don't
know. Pedestal?
Yeah, the pedestal.
I just think it looked weird, so –
the 07 Oilers alternate with the
– Oh, like the Comet. Yeah, that one was cool. The oil comment. That was a great jersey. There are a ton of them. Caps, the eagle.
Which one? The blue one? Like the blue and gold?
The blue and then the black one.
Yeah.
And then the Capitol building.
Yes.
Those ones were probably one of my favorites of all time.
The old Sens logo. So what was it? 06, 07?
Yeah, the Sens had some pretty solid jerseys in their history.
And then
why don't we just call this segment like going through each team's jerseys?
Yes.
Because that's basically what we're doing. So Flyers have never had any good jerseys, by the way.
I mean, their black ones.
Their black ones were kind of nice. I like the one that looked like chrome, sort of the logo.
I didn't
like that
one
at all. Like, the chrome one was not good.
Pittsburgh only looked good in baby blue.
Yep.
Or the Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh basically ripping off the Rangers.
Yeah, the Islanders Islander logo, the fisherman.
Fisherman was good, but it was poorly executed.
Oh, yeah. Rangers, Their only solid one was the Liberty head.
Lady Liberty. Yeah.
So basically every team's alternate jersey was just heads and
so we
tails
went,
above everybody.
We did
else.
Anaheim, Arizona, Boston.
Oh, we did Buffalo.
Yep.
Did Calgary.
I can't think of any Boston. Boston has classic, but
Boston's
not
classic. Yeah, they don't really change up their jersey too much. Carolina, Chicago.
Chicago, black. They're black ones.
The axe ones.
Yes.
I don't know if they ever put that on.
I don't think they put on the main
the
logo.
The shoulders.
But those are nice logo. Colorado.
Colorado.
They've had some
the
nice.
The foot. I like the foot.
Foot. And then Quebec. I mean.
Yeah. Nordiques had the same jersey forever.
Colorado.
Columbus, we talked about.
Yep.
Dallas.
Detroit. It's. I like.
Like the Cougars one.
Yeah. What was that? Falcons. The 09 stand. Or.
Winter Classic?
Yeah, Winter Classic.
It's in Florida, we talked about.
Yep. Edmonton.
L.A.
L.A. You like the Burger King. I like the Gretzky black and
the Wild. Did they have a different looking one?
I think they've had the same rough.
Their logo, I love their old logo. Mm-hmm. Like, the one they came up with was awesome. Like, it was just very, very well designed.
Yeah.
Easy to draw, too, if you were to draw it, despite the complexity of it.
Nashville, I mean.
The yellow ones?
The mustard ones?
The mustard ones, kind of nice.
Yeah.
With the big teeth, saber tooth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Montreal, it was, again, 06, 07, but it was an alternate. It was basically a white version of
Oh, yeah, 06, 07, every team had to have a new jersey in their line, like a new added jersey to their thing.
It was it was basically a white version of their home jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Let's see, San Jose. San Jose's early jerseys.
The Owen Nolan era?
Yeah, like with the fin on the fin in the ocean on their, their, you know, and they got the black ones are really, really
those
nice.
Are nice.
The teal, I mean, the teal orange mesh is probably one of the best looking colors in the league. And a big shout out to Marin for Sharks fan. Nice looking logos and jerseys. St. Louis we talked about. Tampa we talked about. Toronto.
I mean, they're classic.
Classic,
I mean,
once again.
As much as I hate.
I like the spiky leaf that they had in the 2000s.
Well, actually, I like the old leaf. Just the cartoony.
Yeah.
Who else? Vancouver.
Vancouver, their stick. The one with the stick.
I like
cool. They had the big skate logo. That was awesome.
The 06-07, remember, they were navy with the red?
Yeah, those were nice. They had the big V.
The V was ugly.
Ugly. But it got some love. I like the yellow version of the V better than the black one.
Yeah.
They've had more that I'm trying to. Oh, the navy and red one with the Canuck actually on the logo instead of being the stick.
Yeah, remember they had the navy and red, like the. Gradient.
Yeah.
Those were weird.
They were very weird. But they had the navy and red ones were kind of cool in their early 2000s when they had them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Vegas, well, they've had the same jerseys forever.
Yeah.
They don't have an alternate.
They don't count.
They don't have an alternate? They have an alternate? If they had a black alternate jersey, that'd be nice. Instead of gray.
Or maybe gold, since they're the
Golden
Knights.
And let's see. Washington.
Caps we've talked about.
Winnipeg. The Jets history. Like, if you go back to the original Jets, their logos were beautiful. But now they haven't really changed it up. I like the blue ones, though. The ones that's just Jets on the front.
They're ugly. Like, if they had a nice logo.
They had a different color, maybe. Maybe a different color blue.
Maybe I like the old or the Heritage Classics.
Mm-hmm.
Heritage Classic doesn't get enough love.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention one for the Coyotes, their dog.
The black one?
Yeah, that was a cool alternate.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ditched that so quick.
Are we missing any teams?
We probably are.
Let's see.
Devils, we really have had the same jersey their whole history.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool if they had, like, a black alternate.
It would, but I feel like it would get hated by fans.
Oh, it would get hated so much. Their red and greens should be their alternates. Like, they were pretty beautiful jerseys when they first came into the league.
Buffalo needs to come back to the Royal Blues.
Yeah, Buffalo had some. I like the full bull on the.
I liked the black and red ones with the cross swords or the red one.
Yep, those were nice. The red ones, yeah, those are pretty cool.
The Buffa Slug.
The Buffa Slug. Those were the jerseys that my travel team wore for. For all the years that I played for them, that was cool. But I just like the full Buffalo Sabres one. That was cool. So, yeah, those are pretty much all the cool jerseys in the NHL's history.
And we can name worst ones well, but we're probably won't.
Like the duck jumping out of the pond.
What do you mean? That one's that one's terrible.
Oh, I forgot one. One of my favorites. The one, the Anaheim Ducks, their first one. The purple and white and black.
The eggplant one?
Yes, those were sweet. I want to get one of those jerseys. Those are nice. Like probably a Scott Niedermeyer one.
Yeah.
Anaheim's had some nice jerseys in their history.
They have. Oh, for Boston, I remember one that I liked.
The brown. The poop.
No, it was their alternate that had that fun Boston logo with the full-sized bear.
Yeah, that one was cool. Or when they just had the bear head.
Oh, you mean the Pooh Bear?
Yeah.
That was... Why do you like all these ugly jerseys?
Well, some of them... I just have a love for, like, early 2000s jerseys because that's what I grew up around.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, just the full... Yeah, the full bear head. Not, like, the brown pants that you can see in Chell. But the ones, the yellow ones they had early 2000s, their alternates were cool. Yeah. So, that's all I got with the jerseys.
Yeah, I think...
So that's pretty much all we got.
What's your? I know we talked about it last. I think we talked about it last time. But what's your pick for the new Seattle name?
I really like the. I had it in my head and then I lost it.
Kroger or not Kroger?
Kraken.
Yeah.
Seattle. Evergreens? No.
Seattle.
Washingtons.
The Seattle McSeattle faces.
Totems, or I don't really like. Thunderbirds. I think Thunderbirds would be a great name.
Well, there's already Seattle Thunderbirds. Yeah. How about the Mariners? That's a nice name.
Seattle Mariners. Why don't we just be the Seahawks if we're right? Super. Bring back the Sonics.
I would love if they did.
Or the what if they're the Sounders?
Imagine how much they would hate. Like, hey, guess what, Seattle? We're bringing back the Sonics.
Yeah.
Except they play hockey.
Oh. So I don't know. Like, expansion's weird to me because like. I don't know how much they're going to expand after 32. That's a lot.
I think that they're going to stop because that's the most in any – or that's tied for an NFL.
They're probably going to relocate if they're going to do new expansions. Like, I would love to see Hartford get a team back because there's no professional sports teams in Connecticut. I'd love for it to go back to Quebec because they still have a contingency of fans.
Yeah.
Even though there's a ton of Canadian teams already.
I mean – Quebec as well. They just bought the new. They made that new Videotron Center. Yeah. Perfect for.
Well, I mean, Charlotte, North Carolina, good location for a team. Portland, Oregon, good location for a team.
Doesn't
Portland has one team?
Doesn't the Hurricanes already play in Charlotte? Or do they? Hurricanes play in Raleigh.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, Charlotte. I don't know. Let's see. Thinking of Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
There's already two teams in. There's already one team in Texas, but.
But the thing is. The reason there wasn't a team in Houston, their old Rockets owner wouldn't share Toyota Center.
Yeah.
But the Rockets were recently sold, so there's talk about a new team going in there.
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma City could be a good location potentially. They have an AHL team, but Oklahoma City has one sports team, and that's the Thunder. A lot of potential expansion locations you can think of, like yeah. And ones that deserve a team if you think about it. I'm trying to think of other ones like there's a lot of teams like a lot of locations.
I could see Indy getting a team.
Indianapolis, yeah, that's
because they have the Fuel. I think the Fuel get a pretty good.
Yes, they do.
Outcome.
Delaware, no, Delaware couldn't even fit a stadium in their state.
No,
Rhode Island also could.
What
not.
About like it's a bit odd. But what about like Fargo, North Dakota?
I could potentially. They probably wouldn't get. Oh, I was thinking Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas.
Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri would draw a lot of fans back.
The Scouts.
Even though, yeah, the Scouts.
It's the same city. Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, they played in Missouri, though.
Missouri?
But St. Louis is too close, so that would be a nice rivalry. New Hampshire, like Concord or.
Vermont, maybe, like Vermont. Burlington.
Yeah, somewhere up in the.
Portland, Maine. There we go.
Maine would get no fans.
No, but Maine, you could draw from.
Oh, yeah.
New Hampshire and Vermont.
But they've already got Boston.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like I listened to an interview recently. Ben Lovejoy talked about he's from New Hampshire. He was a Boston fan growing up, so no Canadian influence on that. Thinking of others. Like, so there's some states that, I mean, bring back Atlanta, even though they failed completely miserably.
Both times
they brought a team there. Virginia. Virginia's a big state. I don't know why.
Caps.
Caps, yeah, you're right.
Like Baltimore would be good, but Caps are...
Oh, yeah, Baltimore would be interesting.
Caps are what, 10 miles? Like,
yeah, pretty close.
20 miles away?
Tennessee's already got a team. Kentucky, like Louisville. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of locations, but that definitely wouldn't be a...
I know where you should put a professional hockey team.
Hokesson, Delaware.
No, Phoenix.
Oh, wait. They're in the AHL because they're so bad.
Emphasis on professional.
Even though they play in Glendale. Like, yeah. They were called Phoenix, but they played in Glendale. It made no sense. Oakland, bring back the Seals.
No.
They failed even worse than the Scouts and the Thrashers did, I'll tell you that.
Bring back the Barons.
Cleveland?
No, they have... Cleveland has the Monsters.
I mean, Cincinnati or Cleveland could have a good team in their in their area, but the Columbus is just...
There.
And is enveloping the entire area.
Cleveland's 2 hours away from Pittsburgh as well.
Salt Lake City, another... I mean, they've got the Utah Jazz there. Mm-hmm. Could share a basketball court.
Is it bad I completely forgot that the Utah Jazz existed?
Oh, I forget some NHL teams exist, like the Stars. The Jazz, yeah. The Charlotte, North Carolina is a big one to me, even though they've already got Raleigh in North Carolina.
You know what should happen?
What?
Actually, it might be happening, but I missed it. Isles should move back to the island.
They're going to move back to Nassau.
I know they're playing some games in Nassau.
They're definitely moving back to Nassau at some point. Because they just failed miserably in Brooklyn.
It's a terrible arena.
Terrible arena. Barclays Center is just gross.
They should.
Nassau was pretty gross, too. Like, but my dad said.
Nassau was gross in a good way. Like, gross with character.
Yeah. My dad said he went to Nassau, and the floor was just endlessly sticky. It was gross. There's a lot of other cities that teams like.
Even cities like Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Get a team.
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon almost had a team.
Hamilton, Ontario.
Hamilton's too close to Toronto and Buffalo. But Saskatoon, back in the 80s or whatever, St. Louis was going to move there.
Instead, they moved to... And then, like, it was... the Scouts actually were going to move to, I think, Canada, but they were bought out by the Devils. Were bought out by Colorado, the Rockies,
and then
the Devils.
Did the Rockies exist for, like, a year, two
Rockies
years?
Rockies were... They made the playoffs once with an abysmal record because... The Patrick Division, the second best team in the division, was guaranteed a playoff spot, and they just ousted the Canucks to make the playoffs, and they got completely dispatched by the Flyers in the first round. The only time a Scout or Rockies franchise made the playoffs. But Kansas City is the most appealing to me, even though
Houston.
Houston's definitely – Texas needs another team. Let's be real. Like,
yeah.
Dallas so Stars, big. So big. I mean, Houston, California has too many teams already.
Houston is a huge hockey town. Like,
oh.
It doesn't say, like, Houston, Texas. What do you think of? You don't really think of hockey, but the Arrows, they succeeded there.
Yeah.
They were in AHL, ECHL, I think. Some
WHA, like.
Yeah, so many other. But they succeeded there.
They did.
I think Houston could have a team.
They definitely could, yeah. So, a lot of potential expansion locations. In
Orlando?
The See, now the Magic don't draw too much of a fan base.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jacksonville in a sense. Like, why is there a team there?
Mm-hmm.
Orlando, they just got, like, the Magic, like, sometimes I forget they're a team, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Charlotte Bobcats when they used to be a team. Now they're the Hornets.
And I still forget about it. It's the NBA. I don't remember half the teams.
I have not watched a full NBA game in my entire life. Not been to one, not watched one on TV. I've seen, like, pieces of it, obviously.
ESPN.
ESPN or like flipping through channels, but yeah, never, ever. So, and I don't plan on it, even though I might have to. I mean, college basketball, huge fan of.
Yeah, college basketball is amazing.
We'll watch college basketball. I haven't been to a football game since I was like 12, an NFL game. I haven't been to a college football game in a while. So,
well, you go to college.
I do go to college. Yeah, I didn't go to any Army football game this year.
I'm hopefully going to an NFL game next year.
In Buffalo?
Buffalo's coming here.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if
I might go see a preseason game, Dallas Eagles, when my cousins are in town over the summer.
Nice. Are they Dallas fans?
Yeah, they're Dallas fans. Mm. Their dad's from Texas.
Ah.
So, yep.
But
they're not hockey fans, though, which I'm trying to make them Devils fans, and one day I will succeed in them liking hockey, but they're...
What if they succeed, but they can become Flyers fans?
Well, they wouldn't be Flyers fans. If they're any team's fans, they'd be Hurricanes, because they're in South Carolina.
You want to talk about what you got today, just real quick?
Oh, yeah. So I got some cards in the mail, as I normally do. I accidentally sent them here. I found in my closet a Riley Armstrong rookie card from 2009-10 Opeachy, and it was all crumpled up, so I just bought a new one, got this in the mail from, I think this one was from gotbaseballcards.com, a good place. And then I got a card to trade to somebody, Sidney Crosby, 2008 or 9 Upper Deck, I think it is, a checklist card, and trading it to him for a Nico Hischier. And then I got a bonus card, Mario Lemieux, 1992-93 Upper Deck. So good cards in the mail. For thanks to the Card Addict for the bonus card. And yeah, we will see you soon. Stay tuned for another iteration of Card of the Day.
Yep, and another episode of The Neutral Zone. I'm John Hanna.
And I'm Tyler Gallo, and we'll see you next week.
We'll play you out with some Santana and Chad Kroeger. Devil himself could be pulled.